we are able to take on many more reprisal cases that would have otherwise been closed before the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act passed. Before it passed, we had to close cases where the disclosure was made to the wrongdoer or as part of the employee's duties. We also now have jurisdiction for cases involving the Transportation Safety Agency, TSA.
So has the casework gone up since the Enhancement Act was passed?
Incredibly so, yeah. In the first quarter after the Act passed, we had the most filings that this agency has ever seen. So far in fiscal year 2014, we've received over 1,700 prohibited personnel complaints. About half of those cases involve retaliation for whistleblowing or other protected activities. If the current pace keeps up, our caseload for this year is going to be similar to the last 2 years, and those levels are about 50% higher than they were even 5 years ago.
Can you speak a little bit about what's in those complaints? In other words, what are these whistleblowers saying happened to them?
We have a variety of prohibited personnel practice complaints, but about half of them, or a little bit more than half, are complaints for reprisal, for having blown the whistle.
And what form does that reprisal take? I know that every case is individual, but do you see trends?
Often there's some sort of adverse personnel action that happens after somebody blows the whistle. The terms or conditions of their employment change. It can be something like a hostile work environment. It can be up to and including termination. You know, we've seen people who have been the subject of disciplinary action anywhere from suspensions, through termination. Often it's more subtle than that. It might be a change of assignment, a geographic change of assignment, things like that.
What percentage, and has there been a change in the percentage of those that have merit and that you proceed on?
Before, we had to close cases where the disclosure was made to the wrongdoer or as part of the employee's duties. And so those are the kinds of cases where there may have been merit before, but we just couldn't help. We couldn't do anything about them because of the law. So given the more appropriate nature of the law, we are able to help more people.
It seems like a mixed bag. I mean, certainly people are feeling more comfortable coming to you under this law, and they can come to you, which is good. But the fact of the matter is that there are still these hundreds of cases alleging retaliation if somebody mentions that they might have or that they know that fraud, waste, or abuse is going on. It's still quite disturbing.
It is disturbing, but I think it's getting better. I think having a robust agency like the Office of Special Counsel, and where employees know that they can come and where they'll be protected if they make a disclosure, is helping. And ultimately, it really helps our government. If people can come forward and report waste, fraud, or abuse or health and safety problems, it makes our government stronger. When we have an environment and an atmosphere where employees are rewarded instead of punished for coming forward, I think that creates a better culture, and it certainly creates a more effective government.
We're speaking with Carolyn Lerner. She is head of the Office of Special Counsel. And so what about the workload and its effect on your own office? Have you been able to process all those cases, all those additional cases, with enough alacrity to kind of keep people and their faith in the system up high?
It's been tough, no question about it, but we've made the most of the resources that we have. We've reallocated some resources. We've relied on presidential management fellows and interns. We've used outside help from the Harvard Negotiation Project. We also were very grateful that Congress bumped up our budget a little bit this year for this fiscal year, so we're hiring more people for the first time since I've been special counsel. We can bring on a few more people to help us with our caseload. Right now, our full-time examiners in the complaints examining unit have a caseload of about 65 to 70 cases each. I'd really like to be able to reduce that number by at least half so that they can get to complaints sooner and have more time to spend reviewing them. Whistleblower disclosures to our office have also shot up over the last several years, and you know, we are really struggling with the number. We had about over 1,000, about 1,100 disclosures last year, and that's up from about 400 5 years ago. So the numbers are staggering, but I think we're doing the best we can and getting good results for folks. The number of corrective actions that we've gotten for employees was over 170 last year, and that was up from 20 or 30 from a couple years back. So we're doing more with less, I think.
I want to ask you about your process. I mean, going back to these whistleblower cases, for example, once you complete your investigation, you present your findings in a letter to the president. And then what happens?
We review the agency's report of investigation for disclosures. Now, it's different for prohibited personnel practices, where we have independent investigative authority and can take disciplinary action and prosecute those claims. But for disclosures, the process is that we review the agency's report of investigation for sufficiency and reasonableness. We then report to the president and to Congress. And it's really up to them at that point whether to do additional oversight.
Do you keep track of what happens to the cases that you present after that point? I'm just wondering, in general, how agencies react to them.
In cases where we don't feel that the agency has taken full corrective action, for example, they say that they're going to do things, but they haven't been completed, we will go back and check on those. Our authority is a little bit limited, though, under the statute, to do that if everything else is there. So we're a little bit limited in what we can do. But we try to work with Congress and the oversight committees to make sure that there is follow-up from Congress.
And so getting back to the original question of trust between federal workers, if you will, or federal line employees and their management. So getting back to the original question of trust, clearly people feel that they have more faith that the Office of Special Counsel and the whole apparatus for dealing with these complaints and retaliations is going to work for them, as judging from your workload. But what do you think it's done for trust between line employees and their immediate management?
Well, hopefully when employees feel free to raise concerns and point out problems, they will communicate more with their supervisors. And we all know communication is an essential element to improving trust in any workplace. Employees also need to believe that decisions are made for good, defendable reasons, even if they ultimately disagree. And I think employees also need to see that their leadership is committed to the agency's mission, that employees are treated fairly, and all employees, management and line staff, are held accountable. And when those things happen, I think trust will improve.
From your standpoint, what's the biggest challenge when we're talking about trust in a situation like this?
I think the biggest challenge to trust, again, goes back to communication. Feeling like concerns will be heard and acted upon. And even if the concerns are ultimately not proven to be, you know, valid, or if the supervisor or the agency can't do anything to address them, being heard and having opinions at least listened to and valued will increase trust.
And not being retaliated against, even if the supervisor or the management disagrees, people should be able to voice that concern, and then everyone goes away and still is friends.
Absolutely. I mean, look, no one likes to be criticized. No one likes to feel like they are being called out for doing something wrong. But the more we can create a climate where disclosures are viewed as ultimately a good thing, as an employee trying to do what's right for the agency and for the government and for, frankly, our country, the better things will be. And if we can help agencies create that climate of openness where employees feel like coming forward is valued, that will help trust.
So going ahead for the rest of 2014 and looking ahead to 2015, in fact, you're preparing your 2016 budget request right now. What are your top priorities?
We have several priorities. One of our top priorities is to more broadly engage agencies through our certification program, which the White House has now made mandatory. And as you may know, agency heads are responsible for ensuring that employees are informed of the rights and the remedies that are available to them to be protected from retaliation and other prohibited personnel practices, such as sexual orientation discrimination. And under our certification program, we will certify that an agency is complying with those requirements if they follow a very simple program. It's a very easy to comply with program. It has five requirements that include things like posting informational posters at facilities, providing information about prohibited personnel practices and the Whistleblower Protection Act to new employees, and to current employees, training supervisors on these issues, and creating a computer link from the agency's website to OSC's website. And we're really trying to make a push to get agencies to become compliant with that certification program. So that's one of our top priorities.
Let me just ask you about that, because that's really important. Do you have a sense of how many agencies have already done this?
I don't know the exact number, but it's pretty small. It's a small percentage of agencies. And with now the White House having made it mandatory, we really hope to get compliance up in the percentages and ultimately to full compliance.